Okay. You're evacuating your group? So, are we doing the group quiz at the beginning or the end? End. Okay. I just want to hear the loudest voice. I don't need a voice. So I'm going to hand it out anyway now because you need something to write down your iQuiz scores on. Are you two groups or one group?
There's only like one
group. Three people per group, right?
Yeah, unless it's not.
Finish. We're a group of three.
You're a group of three? Three. Send it down to the... Maybe. We'll see. No, we got some groups of two. Oh, there is a third person? Okay.
You punch in the numbers, we tell you.
I'm gonna put you two together as a group of two.
Can you guys go do the work now?
Punch in the numbers.
Does this count for extra points on our test?
This is a quiz. It counts as a quiz. So having seen it, do you want to do it now or do you want to do it later?
Now.
Okay, let's do it now. You can actually do it now and later, right? Because I'm not going to collect them till the end. But there'll be quiet time here at the beginning. A little bit louder? Before the test? No. No.
Okay, so the last...
Not the number of like half circles, but full cycles, right? And is?
No.
Or not?
You can decide. There are the pictures.
Oh, okay. Sorry. That was a double question.
Say again? I think that that's true, but I'm not sure that all of the stuff that you need is on the board. But all of the equations, I think, are on the board. Yes, so those will be for bonus points.
Grab sheet, or do you want to...
No, on that. I don't want to do do that one.
Feel free to not answer if necessary.
If it's not up, you can't.
Right. So for the N, the frequency of the N waves, is that N F of 1?
Yes.
And so the substitution for the F of 1 variable is V over 2L. Is that what I mean?
Yes.
So
that's correct. Then.
Can we hypothesize? What?
Hypothesize with you?
The frequency of the fundamental, we're guessing that's of the 1.
Oh, you're asking what's the meaning of fundamental?
Yeah.
I don't think I'm going to tell you.
But you really should.
What if you like say something? Can you nod?
I can nod.
We have a good.
No, not if it's right.
Oh, okay. We're all correct. Exhausted, but we just want to. We think it's of like one of the little.
I think you can guess accurately. That's my statement.
Woo!
What exactly is the frequency of the fundamental? Like, how does it differ?
Ah, so you're asking me what the word fundamental means.
Yeah.
And I already refused to answer that. But what I said is that it's pretty easy to guess what it
is
means.
Is it just
I'm not going to say, but it's. I think it's pretty easy to guess. Two more minutes or so. So maybe one more minute. So the plan is for me to collect these at the end. So what you're going to do is you're going to keep score any way you want on the iQuiz things, and the iQuiz will be bonus points. This quiz score will be a quiz score. So make sure you got names on it, and I'll pick them up at the end. Everyone for every correct iQuiz card that you hold will give you an extra point. And they'll be pure bonus points. They won't hurt anyone. They'll only help you. I should comment that it really is pretty small change. At this point, we have something like 500 points for quizzes and homework. So whether we add 10 to that or not, it's not going to make a big difference. You could, we might get through 20 of these, but usually we get through, yeah, we might get through 20 of them. Everything is extra. People ready to start earning bonus points? Got your iQuiz cards ready? So you see the first question is sig figs. Every time you answer right, you get another point. So these will be added. So if you answer 12 of these correctly, it'll be like 12 new homework points. Oh, so I'm gonna try and start more or less at the beginning, and if we time it right, get more or less to the end. But I figured the beginning is the right place to start because it's the stuff that you probably know least. There'll be something like 24 of these questions on the exam. Lots of them will be repeats from old exams. Obviously, the ones I'll repeat is the ones you missed a lot from the previous exams. Say that again.
Like chapter 13.
Yeah. How many questions do you
think? So I'm not going to try and overemphasize what we've had. So we've had roughly one cycle on chapter 13, so I would expect that 1/12 of the material will be on chapter 13 or something like that. I won't try and over or underestimate it. People are putting up their cards, counting their sig figs, putting up their cards. Got a card up? You're still thinking. I think I'm waiting for one, and I think mostly correct answers, but some incorrect answers. Mostly correct answers. So, how many sig figs in this one? B. Vectors. So for these set of vectors, which one would produce the biggest value of P plus Q? Which combination of these vectors produces the biggest value of P plus Q? Everything I see right now I like. I like it. I think everyone's voted. I think everyone's right. So what you want to do is when you're adding vectors is put the tail of one to the tip of the other. And so if I take this guy and I move him there, then that vector is going to be the biggest vector. So we're talking C. Yeah. So these two vectors, P and Q, have the same length, 5. How many of the below are possible lengths for the sum of those vectors? Two vectors, P and Q, they have the same length. I can orient them in any imaginable way. How many of these possibilities can I actually achieve for P plus Q? There's disagreement about this one. Majority, I think, is correct, but not everyone. I'm waiting, I think, for one group. So, if we can certainly get 10, I hope it's clear by putting them like this, we can, I don't know if it's certain, but I can certainly get 0 by doing that. And if I arrange it right, I can get anything in between, in particular 5. So we're talking all 3 are possible. D. Okay, so now your possible answers are A, B, and C according to whether the quantity is positive, 0, or negative. If this is a graph of position versus time, is X positive, negative, or 0? Everything I see, I like. So far, I think. So this is a graph of, I'm assuming this is a graph of position versus time, and I'm asking what the value of the position is at the point P. Is it positive, negative, or 0? Pretty much see everything that's being shown. I think we're going to call the question. Calling the question. The question is, what is the value of X for that point P? Positive, negative, or 0? At point P. I think everyone's got it right, right? It's, you just read the graph directly. It's positive, right? It's exactly whatever this value is. Just read it directly. How about the velocity? Positive, negative, or 0? Is the velocity at P positive, negative, or 0? Seems to be disagreement about this one. Yeah, I agree. Is that a vote? Has everyone voted now? So the velocity is the slope, right? And it's moving to smaller x values, so the velocity is negative. How about the acceleration at P? Say again? So the velocity is the slope, and the slope is negative at point P. Now we're on acceleration. From this graph of position versus time, how do we figure out what the acceleration is?
Wait, was velocity an actual question?
Yes. Okay. That was the previous question. Disagreement about this one. You can still change it until the last one. You're grading yourself, right? You're the one who's putting whether it's right or wrong. Yes. Yeah. But
so this is okay.
Whatever you want to put down as your final answer, grade yourself. You can risk your immortal soul. Has everyone voted? So this is a hard one, I think, and I think the way to remember it is the smile theorem. Do you remember that? So this thing obviously looks like that. So the acceleration is negative. Not so long ago, it had zero velocity, and now it's got a negative velocity, so its velocity is becoming less and less. So the same graph, now I'm thinking about this being a graph of velocity versus time. If this is a graph of velocity versus time, what is x? Is it positive, negative, or zero? I think pretty much what I see I like. Think. You decided, Bridget? Yep, I think everything I see I like. Yes, I think everyone got this one right. So to figure out what the position is and a velocity versus time, we're looking at the area under the curve. Another way of saying it is it's been moving with a positive velocity forever, right? Since time equals zero. So it's got to have a positive position. How about the acceleration? If this is velocity versus time, what's the acceleration at this point? Velocity versus time at the point P, is it positive, negative, or zero? Question. We're skipping 5 because it's too easy. Going right to 6. Right, for 5 you just read the graph. Not that 6 is that hard. Everything I see I think I like. Oh, there's one of them I don't like.
Oh, it's not E. Yeah, I meant this. Where's the slip of my
Oh, I think people have switched around, so I think everyone's right now. Yes, I think everyone's right. So acceleration is just the slope of this line, right? And it's got a negative slope at that point. So negative. Okay, so we had lots of those sorts of questions. Ooh, boy, this one's really the worst for wear. So I don't know if you remember this question. The question is, what is the direction of the acceleration? So the story is you have somebody like a ski jumper who's sliding down the slope in number one. Number two is kind of the bottom of the jump. And number three is when he's going up. And number four is when he's going down. So for number one, what's the direction of the acceleration? A, B, C, or D? May not be obvious which way is A, B, C, and D. Ooh, some disagreement. Not everyone's getting it right. Has everyone voted? Bridget, have you voted? I think that's the wrong answer. I can't quite read it. That's a better answer. So certainly gravity is pushing it down, but there'll be a normal force that's perpendicular. So the direction of the acceleration is the direction it can, only direction it can go, which is on that slide down, so it's C. Velocity, acceleration, all of those things are in the direction C. How about for number two? When it's at number two, what is the direction of its acceleration? There's disagreement about this one, too. One point per question. What is the acceleration at point two? Is it in the direction A, B, C, or D? What is the acceleration at point two? At point one, it was C. Now we're on point two. Lots of disagreement. I think I've seen pretty much every answer. Cogitation. We're going to call final question pretty soon here. Lots of wrong answers. So remember, when something's going in a circle or a part of the circle, it has a centripetal acceleration, an acceleration towards the center of the circle. So center of that circle is in the direction A. Okay, so it leaves the track at 3 and it's flying through the air, but it's going up. What's the direction of its acceleration? So three is flying through the air, going up still. What's its acceleration? Lots of disagreement about this one, too. I think they're majority correct answers. Did you vote, Bridget?
Yeah.
Okay. I think everyone's voted. So for point three, the only force on it is gravity, right? It's left the normal force of the ski jump. The only force of gravity is down, so the acceleration has to be down. So that's D. Okay, so how about in case four? What's its acceleration in case four? I don't see any wrong answers. Everyone voted, I think. So it's still D, right? The only force is down. Okay, so a boy throws a steel ball straight up. Which of these graphs of velocity versus time best displays this motion? Okay, so we throw something straight up, comes back usually. Which of these graphs best displays velocity versus time? Everything I see, I think I like. Still, everything I see, I like. Think everyone's voted? So it's a little bit non-intuitive, but it's C, right? Because it has a constant acceleration. We already said that it's constantly accelerating downward at 9.8, so it better have a constant slope, and the only one with a constant slope is C. So here's where it's going up and slowing, here's where it's at rest, and here's where it's coming back down. What else we got here? Vectors. Oh, okay. Remember this one. We got three books that are sitting at rest on the table. X weighs 4 newtons, Y weighs 5 newtons, Z weighs 10 newtons. The net force acting on book Y is what? Fooled lots of you on this, I think, the first time we saw it, but I'm not fooling anyone yet. So I guess if I was doing this right, I'd record which ones are easy and then not put them on the exam, right? That's I think everyone's voted. So this is an easy one once you see the trick, right? There better be no net force because there's no acceleration. It's just sitting there. So the net force on it is zero. They have to add up to zero. The force of book Z on book Y is what? The force of book Z on book Y is what? How is book Z pushing on book Y? Seems to be some disagreement about this one. I think everyone's voted. So book Z has to support all of the weight above it, but not any more than that. So there will be a force of 9 newtons that Z is pushing up on Y. What's the net force of book Y on the table? The net force of book Y on the table. Yeah, this is not the net force. This is the force that Y is pushing on the table. Yeah, the net force on everything here has got to be zero, right? Because nothing's moving. I'm fooling lots of people on this one. I'm not sure I've seen any right answer. Oh, I have. Okay, I think everyone's voted. There basically has to be a contact if there's a force. So book Y isn't touching the table, so there's no force between book Y and the table. There's a force between Z and the table. There's a force between the earth and the table, but no other forces. So Rupert is pulling this box along at a constant speed, and we have all these forces. We got a frictional force, we got a tension, we got a weight, we got a normal force, and the question is, which one of these relationships is the case? Okay, so we're pulling it along at constant speed. Compare the tension and the frictional force and the weight and the normal force. Yeah, so this is not a frictionless surface. There has to be some friction. He's pulling it horizontally. I think I'm fooling lots of people on this one, too. I don't think I've seen any correct answers. Oh, I see one correct answer. Looking for a final answer? What's your answer? One of two people with a correct answer. So, what's the net force? It's got to be zero because there's no acceleration. It's moving at a constant velocity. So all of those forces have to cancel out. So that means that the tension has to equal the frictional force and the normal force has to equal the weight. So you might have forgotten the formulas for the frictional force, right? The frictional force is the normal force times, at most, the normal force times the static coefficient of friction. So we've got a crate that's sitting here, and no matter what, It's staying in its fixed location. So in case one, we're pulling it horizontally with 10 newtons. In case two, we're kind of half lifting it with 10 newtons. In case three, we're pushing down on it. We're supposed to rank the magnitude of the frictional force in these three circumstances. Which one has the biggest frictional force? I'm fooling some people, but not most of the people. Is anyone perfect so far? No. Okay, I think everyone's voted. So the frictional force in case three is zero, right? So it can't be smaller than three. It can't be smaller than that. So it's down to B and D. Where is the frictional force the biggest? Well, the frictional force in case one has to be all of 10 newtons pulling it back, right? Because it's not moving. So whereas in case two, it's going to be some fraction of the 10 newtons. So B is the right answer. One of my favorite questions, since I had to spend hours making this beautiful drawing.
Did you actually drive?
Of course.
What? With face on?
Well, I really like the beard.
It's better than my usual drawings. You've got to grant me that.
I think the
guys'
shorts are a little short, though.
Yeah, the shorts are whatever.
Hey, he likes to show a little bit of thigh.
As your swimming shirt, he's at the beach. Sorry, he doesn't have the other guy's.
The guy's wearing.
Okay, so enough comment about the dress of these people. So they're pushing apart, and the question is, while they're pushing, what's going on? So. Yeah, so, So A has more mass than B. You can see he's got that nice tummy on him.
He's just got a little bit more insulation. A has more
mass. Yeah, actually, here's maybe the one to start with instead. So A weighs 100 kilograms, B weighs 75 kilograms. During the push, compare the forces. So A is pushing off on B. What's going on? I don't see that I'm fooling anyone on this one.
We remember.
Has everyone voted? Yeah, I don't think I fooled anyone. So this is Newton's third law, right? If object A pushes on object B, then vice versa. So the forces have to be equal and opposite, which is not an option. So D is the right answer. Okay, so now we know that A is the heavier guy. What's the story about the momentums and the velocities? But B has a cute smile.
Me too. And like the ear, like you kind of think, oh, this is so
I don't think I'm fooling anyone. Oh, I am fooling some people some of the time. Did you guys vote? Okay, everyone's, I think, voted. So this is an example of momentum conservation, right? There are big forces between these two guys. So we're talking then about either B or C, where we have conservation of momentum. The heavier guy is going to have the smaller velocity because they have to multiply together to be the same. So A is going to have the shorter velocity, so C. Yeah, so here's a graph of potential energy versus position. A graph of potential energy versus position. Number one, where is the force zero? Where is the force zero?
Yeah,
some people using two hands, but I'll give you a one-handed correct answer also.
Oh, okay, sorry. Yeah, here you go.
No.
Oh, I
no.
I didn't see that. The placement of the overhead confused me. You should have shimmy that over.
Answer. So you can read these things just as if they were ski slopes, right? So B is where you could sit, or D, top of the hill, with no net force on you. Whereas in case A, you'd be being pushed to the right. In case C, you'd be being pushed to the left. You can read these things just as if they were slope diagram, as if they were terrain. No, just one. Okay, so here we have a 200 gram mass that's placed at the 100 centimeter mark of a 200 gram meter stick. Someplace along the line, this thing is going to be in teeter-totter mode. Where will this thing balance? So imagine that my finger is the fulcrum. Where could I put my finger and have that thing be balanced? I see lots of wrong answers. I'm not entirely sure I've seen any correct answers yet. Nope.
Is the weight being used for fulcrum?
No. So where can I put my finger and have this thing be balanced? Nope. Did you vote earlier, though? I don't. Nope. So you only voted four times, but you got it right, huh? Final answers? Good. Yeah, we already had your answer. You get to grade yourself. Honesty counts. So remember that the center of mass can be treated, of an object can be treated as if it were a point object. So we can think about this whole meter stick as being 200 grams at the 50 centimeter mark. So if I have two 200 gram things, where are they going to balance? Right in the middle. So at the 75 centimeter mark. Yeah, this is a pretty easy one, but we can do it. Anyway, so we have a picture frame, and we're comparing the tension in various strings. What's the ordering of the tensions? Yeah, I see lots of disagreement. Yep. Not you, that was them. You're a no. You're a no. Wait. Yes, you're a no. Bridget's got it. Lots of disagreements. I like MC's answer. Yep. Is that a vote, or you're cogitating still? So just as a target point, I hope it's clear that T1 is half the mass, right? Half the weight, I should say. Okay, so if you think about this in terms of torque, which is the context for this question, what we want to do is pick an origin. And the place to pick your origin most conveniently is at the center of mass, right? Because then we don't have to worry about the force of gravity. And then we have teeter-totter situations going on. So this guy has the short side of the teeter-totter, so it has to have the bigger force if it's going to balance that force. So T3 has to be the biggest, T2 is half the weight, T1 is half the weight, and T2 is less than half the weight because the other one is supporting it. So we're talking B. So we're assuming we've got no friction, no external forces. We shoot a golf ball at a bowling ball. Golf ball naturally is going to bounce back. Compared to the bowling ball, the golf ball after the collision has what? More momentum, less momentum? What's it got? Yes, yep, there are people with 104 current points for all of that. This is a little bit of a tricky question. Waiting for a vote. This is a pretty tricky question, but people are doing moderately well on it. So, approximately speaking, with that big mass difference, I hope you know that the the golf ball is going to be bouncing back with pretty much the same velocity it had before. So if it had an initial momentum that was positive, now it's going to have the opposite momentum. So its momentum is changed by 2p, so the bowling ball is going to have 2p worth of momentum, right? So the bowling ball is going to have most of the momentum. But remember that we usually think about the formula for kinetic energy being mv squared, and now it's a little bit hard to figure it out because this guy has most of the mass, but it's got a small velocity. How is it all going to multiply out? But a better formula for us is going to be p squared divided by m. Because the bowling ball and the golf ball have similar momentums but hugely different masses. So the small mass of the golf ball, small number in the denominator, means it's going to have lots of kinetic energy. So less momentum, p as opposed to 2p, but more kinetic energy, d. Yeah. So here we've got some bicycle wheels, and the question is, which way could you rotate this to get the biggest value of the moment of inertia? The biggest value, the smallest value of the moment of inertia. Smallest value of moment of inertia. Louder? Smallest moment of inertia. I think it's usually smallest. I think I see all right answers. I'm not sure I see a wrong one. Yeah, I think everything I see is right. Final answer? I think everyone's right. So if to have a small moment of inertia, we want to put as much of the mass close to the spin axis as possible. And so kind of the first thing you're going to want to do is put the center of mass on the spin axis, right? So A and C have the center of mass on the spin axis, so now we kind of want to decide between those two. A has all of the mass at the farthest possible distance. C has some mass at that same distance. But on the other hand, it's got lots of mass that's close to the spin axis. So C is going to have the smallest moment of inertia. So the greatest moment of inertia would, I'd have to do some thinking, but it's either going to be D or A.
D or A or D or B.
Yeah, D or B. I think it's B. So here we're talking, oh boy, it's not going to fit, huh? So here we have little nibbles that have been taken out of a uniform sheet of steel, and we're supposed to rank where the center of mass is. So here we have the original piece, here we've got a bite that's been taken out of the left, and here we have a bite that's been taken out of both sides, and here we have everything but one corner nibbled off. I think everything I see I like.
No, who has heard that? Stuck like a stuffed
face.
Okay. So, I hope it's clear that the X location of the center of mass for 3 is at the origin, right? This thing would balance on the Y axis, and this one would balance on the Y axis. So these guys have the same X location of the center of mass, namely 0. Here we've taken out of a nibble out of the left, so the center of mass has to move a little bit to the positive end. And this has more mass that's taken out of the right than the left, so the center of mass has to be negative. So we're talking C. Yeah, this is a pretty simple question. We've got a racket that's balanced at this point, and we're comparing the total mass that's on the right side of the fulcrum to the total mass that's on the left side of the fulcrum. Compare the total mass on the right to the total mass on the left. I'm fooling people. I'm fooling lots of people. I like that better. Yes, people are, oop. So I think everyone's voted. So this is a teeter-totter problem, right? So by and large, the left side is closer than the right side, so it has to have more mass. So A, more mass on the closer side of the teeter-totter. Do you want to do the boat boulder problem, or have you... Are you so used to that that you know it all already?
Let's do it again. I got it.
So you know the problem. We've got a boulder that's sitting in the boat. Lake level has some particular level at this point. Throw the boulder overboard.
The next one.
What happens? I think everything I see is right. Oh no!
Wait.
No. All the next ones remain the same. Whatever, I interchanged them.
So it's kind of, I'm not sure there's a good short explanation for it. When the boulder is in the boat, a lot of water has to be displaced to float it. When the boulder is on the bottom, the buoyant force is a lot less than its weight, and therefore the volume that it's displacing is a lot less than its corresponding weight. So we go from a lot of water displaced to a little water displaced, so the water level is going to rise. Thanks. Fooled ya. B. So, how about with the wooden box? Yeah, not fooling anyone, right? Who cares whether it's in the boat or not? It's pretty much going to be the same. How about this one from the last exam? So identical water levels, which means that there has to be more water literally in A because B has something that's displacing some of it. Which of these sides actually weighs more?
I
So which one weighs more? Everything I see, I like. No. So B is missing some water, but the weight of the water displaced, the weight of the missing water is exactly equal to the weight of the ball because the buoyant force is supporting it. So they have to weigh the same. So in this picture, what's a wavelength?
Got it. I like these ones.
Got it. We don't have an E. What do we do?
No.
We don't have an E, Dr. Kirkman. What do we do?
Ooh. I think everything I see is right. Yes, I think everything I see is right. So A is a wavelength, right? C would be the amplitude. Well, no, I don't want to say that. What is? So if you lower the frequency of a wave on a string, what's going to happen? Lower the frequency of a wave on a string. The string is otherwise the same. What's going to happen? I don't see any wrong answers. Maybe I see one wrong answer. Yeah, don't like that answer. So wavelength times frequency has to be a constant, right? Because that's the speed of the wave. So if I decrease F, I have to increase lambda so that they multiply out to be the same. The speed is determined by the tension and the mass per unit length. It's not going to change. The amplitude is totally separate. It might have increased or decreased. And the period is 1 over the frequency, so you're going to lengthen it, not the other way around. What's the amplitude of that standing wave? I think I see everything is right. So remember that the amplitude is half of what you might think, right? It's the distance from equilibrium, so it's C. How many nodes are there? What's the definition of node? Everything I see, I think, is correct, but some middle row not voting yet. No. So nodes are the zero points, right? Where does it not moving, right? These are antinodes. This is a node. 1, 2, 3, 4. And we're not counting the ones on the ends. I guess that might be a confusion. So we've got four nodes. If you double the tension on the string, double the tension on a guitar string, how does that change the frequency of oscillation? You ever play with a guitar?
It's beat.
None of the above.
So if you tighten the nut on your guitar, does frequency go up or down? How much does it go up? Well, remember that the velocity goes like the square root of the tension. So square root of 2c. So make sure you got your names on those quizzes so you get your points. X's and O's, everyone gets what you got. And then you have some sort of quiz grade. We did a lot. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Yes. Got through more than I thought.
That was me.
Good.
Past like quizzes and exams, and you don't have screenshots of the solutions up there.
Yes, I do.
Are they in a separate folder? Because
no.
They're all up there, just they don't have the solutions worked out on them.
Yes, they do. Let's take a look. So, did you open anything that was an MP4?
Yeah. I didn't open MP4s.
That's the problem.
So
all
you
the
just
solutions
say
are MP4s.
You just say them, you don't write them out. Because
well,
MP4s don't have pictures.
Yes, they are exactly what has pictures. Oh, I see. So there are M4As. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the M4s.
It says it on the floor.
Yes. So I think on this I'll have to download it to play it. But screenshots, and then anything that's an MP4. Why won't it let me do anything? Is it thinking? Oh, it's thinking.
It's slow.
It's slow.
So how did that iQuiz work? Because we did 35 questions.
Yeah, so people got on the order of 30 extra points.
Oh my God. So isn't that like an automatic like D at least?
No, because it's...
Or is that to homework?
So they'll be added to homework and they're like 500 points there. So it's just going to increase people's homework scores by. So why did that not? Okay, so let's. Okay, so let's do it this way. And I do kind of recommend it downloading because then you can. So if you do this on a Windows box, it'll stream them. At least it does on my Windows box.
Oh, mine doesn't do that.
Really? It should.
I might have to play around with my settings.
So, you know, and there are words with this too.
Okay, I may have to play around with my settings a little bit then. I might have like a window blocker closed.
Could be. And I kind of recommend down, if you stream them, then you can't kind of go back.
Mm-hmm.
It takes a while, but I would download them, and then you can look at a random spot, you know, again and again and again if you want.
Right.
But they're all there. They're all these MP4s.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, that's the solution to quiz 7 from this year.
Yeah. Yeah, I changed them to the date that you put them up so when I could
and it,
through.
Yep, and it does kind of help to switch to the date modified.
Yeah,
then
that's
you can,
what I do. Then, I
then
go
you can look
order.
At look at them in order. And there's also, for the 191 exams,
mm-hmm.
wherever that directory is, there are similar things. Where is the directory?
Down
here. So the same sort of thing. These MP4s are so-called screencasts, so there's going to be words and video and writing on the screen that goes through the answers.
Okay. Awesome.
If it doesn't work, email me.
I just have a question about the quiz. When you're figuring out like the wave speed when you're using like which one to use for the N,
mm-hmm.
would you count 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, or do you do 6?
So,